Hello everyone, welcome back to Nisa Invest. In today's episode of the podcast, we're going to continue to talk about various topics that are important influences on our financial mindset as Muslims. I thought that we could take the weeks of the month of Ramadan to reflect more on how we feel about money. This has helped me massively over the years to get my head around what it actually means to be good with money, which is simply about being able to live your life such that it's aligned to your values. We're going to talk about patience, but not just patience, it's about sabr. And the way I look at it when it comes to personal finance, particularly, there's so much uncertainty that comes with talking about decisions relating to money, because very often they either have risk involved or they have to do with the very long term. And to me, sabr is so much more than just being patient. It's about what happens to you while you're also being patient. And so it's all about how is it that we can get better at feeling comfortable being uncomfortable, particularly when faced with uncertain outcomes, and how can our sabr help us in that. And what I love about personal finance is that it can be a real test. Facing a topic that we may be unfamiliar with, intuitively we know that that is the good thing to do, and that we should be leaning into it. However, sometimes it kind of sucks. Sometimes it's really difficult, and you know that it's good for you. So in many ways, we have to spend our lives almost looking for challenges and growth opportunities and learning opportunities. So how is it that we can really indulge in that experience and feel like we're getting stronger and better as we go through these tests? So the way I was going to approach this topic is just tell you a couple of quotes that, you know, I've had these metaphors stuck in my head these past few months, and they all related to the topic of sabr. For example, encouraging myself to make sure that I see things in the seed, not the final outcome, and to actually value the seed and starting afresh or starting new things has been coming back to me. Also, the idea of the fact that we water the root, not the fruit. It's counterintuitive to spend time on things that have already ripened, and what you should be focused on is your foundation and your root. But also the idea of you'd all be better if you don't judge by the harvest that you reap, but rather the seeds that you sow. And so when I was going through all of this, I've thought about what sabr means to me and how is it that I engage with the topic of sabr. So I will read you a few lines about the importance of sabr. And so the way that we're going to approach the rest of this podcast is really some three points that we could take away to how is it that we get comfortable being uncomfortable, and hopefully these will relate a lot to things that we often face when dealing with questions to do with money, to do with our future, to do with investing, to do with our careers, that ultimately being comfortable being uncomfortable leads to better outcomes. So for me, yes, sabr is way more than simply being patient. It's about how rich you grow internally while being patient. Sabr provides fertile land where you are just supposed to sow the seeds, anticipating no expectations from it, knowing that the seed that's embedded inside the soil is changing its form. Maybe we cannot witness such changes yet, but Allah's barakah has already been revealed upon it. The seed analogy is of course a great one, and how sometimes it just doesn't, you know, it doesn't taste super sweet. So how is it that we get to the point where we're able to spin what are otherwise negative cues in a more positive way for us to almost feel like we actually are seeking out challenges? And so the first thing is seeing situations where we see that we're experiencing some level of discomfort and almost see that in of itself as a source of motivation. So it's reframing our minds to view discomfort as motivation. So I feel like, of course, throughout our lives, we've all been through challenges, we've all done hard things, and we've probably all given advice to others about how is it that you can effectively go through these hard things. But a lot of these hard things as an adult are quite voluntary. You know, no one tells us, go ahead, strive. That is a message that we get a lot when we're younger. But if you do that as an adult, it's because of your own self-motivation. And perhaps it's because of also your support system. And that's more on that later, because of course your support system, I'm almost ruining the punchline of this whole podcast episode. But yeah, your support system is of course incredibly important. But this is more about what goes in our brains ourselves when we're experiencing a level of discomfort. So how is it that I can put this into practice? Now, a lot of life admin challenges are really annoying just simply because we've never done them before. Aside from that, the other thing they have in common is that everybody goes through it. And then the third thing they have in common is the fact that they are technically not difficult. The only difficult thing about it is the fact that you haven't gone through it before. Now, I remember feeling this, for example, the first time I had to renegotiate my mobile phone bill. I remember thinking that that was such a pain. But if I have to think about the last time I did it, I think that conversation took a total of 10 minutes. And even more so, the last bill that I had to reset was the broadband. And I really, in my mind, thought it was going to take me the whole morning, but it took me 45 minutes from when I logged in to see what the deals were and what the prices were to me finishing the conversation with my current supplier about, you know, haggling so that it was as close as possible to the price that they may have given to people who are new to the contract. So oftentimes you're just, the first time you get your contract, it's like a promotional deal, it's super cheap. And after that, you either switch or you have to haggle so that you get the preferential rate as well, or else they'll charge you an arm and a leg. And it's simply just about having that conversation. I think it's of course super annoying and super uncomfortable, but we know that we have to go through it. And so, yeah, you could think of so many examples where the first experience of doing it was the one that was most uncomfortable. But looking back, if we always just identify those opportunities as precisely the time in which we're going to get better, as precisely the time in which we're going to be stronger, can almost make us not so much relish going through the opportunity, but feel better about how we will feel after. And the most standard example of this is a really hard workout class. You know that it is going to be over, first of all, and you know that you're going to feel better after. But it's sometimes difficult to find these sources of motivation from the banalities of life and the challenges that we face just dealing with life admin in general. And so seeing those as growth opportunities, I feel, helps. Now, this is me connecting it a lot to personal finance, but of course this applies to loftier challenges that we may face. For instance, if you had to start your own business, or you had to go for a promotion, or you had to negotiate a salary. And so knowing that we can rely on what Allah says about people who are patient and people who trust in the outcomes that have already been written for us, and the rewards we get from showing sabr during difficult times, that can be a really positive way to spin these experiences. Why do I say this? Is because actually life is made up of our choices, and often the choices that we make to challenge ourselves is what is going to get us to the other side. But, you know, in working hard doesn't mean that you are alone. And so knowing that there is a reward for us for showing patience can, it's in of itself, be hugely motivating. So the first thing about being comfortable, being uncomfortable, is to actually see the value in the discomfort. and see that as a source of motivation. So the second point is probably the most practical point I will talk about, and that is the idea of journaling. And so I've been, I think, an inadvertent journaling enthusiast. Since I've been able to string two sentences together, I have had a journal in some shape or form. And when I say this is that there could be years in between where I may not have written a word. Certainly there are months in between that I haven't written anything. But the idea that I have a journal somewhere in my bedroom that I can go to and write has over the years helped me out a lot. It's kind of strange because it's gotten to the point where I feel like if I'm going through a difficult time and I'm journaling a lot, I almost feel like, ooh, Fahan, at some point, you're going to get to the point where you're actually going to start a new journal. And it is so funny. Every time I've been able to feel the pleasure of opening up a fresh page in a fresh new journal has always come after, I would say, a 6-month period where things may not have always been so pleasant. Now, of course, I feel super grateful, and a lot of the challenges are just a part of life. But what helps me is writing about it and knowing that once I've written about it, I can move on to a fresh page, quite literally. And so another great thing about this is that you may all feel like sometimes you have the need to ruminate over situations. Now, that is one feeling that I try to stay as far as possible from. And a really practical way that journaling has helped is that if I ever think back to a period that I want to think back on, I know that the most effective way to ruminate is to reread my old journals. But even the act of having to go pick out the journal, find that page, I almost can't be bothered, and so I never do. And there's like a huge statute of limitations, I feel, to the interest that we have in reading the stuff we've written in the past. Like, for a very long time, when I was at uni, I couldn't stand reading what I wrote when I was a teenager, like a younger teenager. And it's only now that I can read what I wrote as a 12-year-old and actually laugh about it and be curious about it. Like, I remember there's a page where it was my parents' birthday and I wrote, "Mom's 44 and Dad's 50. And I remember thinking, oh wow, my parents were so young. I remember thinking they were so old, but they were so young. And so, I don't know, that's a small aside about how journaling can really be really effective way for us to write expressively and distance ourselves from things. And it allows us to face these challenges head on, because we can feel like there will be a time where we shut the page, turn away, and it's in the past. Sometimes I write 3 lines, something that I wanted to think about. A lot of the times I write somewhere else, and the whole exercise is copying what I've written somewhere else in just physical form. But looking back, I give myself that advice to say, just keep doing that. Just don't make a big deal about journaling. Just use that as a tool for you to recognize when there are moments where you have to be patient. It's like a physical reminder of the importance of being patient through things. I really do feel like this tip about journaling is one that I highly recommend. The third point is related in the sense that in the same way that journaling helps us distance ourselves from whatever it is that we may be going through, one other hugely effective way to do that is to take the opposing view entirely. So for example, if you're moving city, thinking, you know, everybody goes through all of this a lot. Some people go through it without even knowing anybody in the country. People have always done this. Like, I know it sounds flippant, but truly taking the opposing view almost throws you out of balance a little. Acknowledging a really different point of view can sometimes help shed some clarity. It helps you distance yourself, and it helps you be a bit more even-keeled and increase your tolerance for whatever pain that you're going through. And that's when your support circle can be really helpful. Now, I have people in my life who really I value because of their ability to give it to me straight. I feel that that has helped me a lot in my career and in my schooling. And I guess that is related to personal finance. The way that I grew up is the feeling that there will always be challenges. You just have to deal with it and move on to the next. The one thing that is guaranteed is that you will never be free of challenges. And it can be very hard to accept, but especially in the moment. But I find like being faced with the opposing view can actually be hugely motivating, because you end up, I feel, being a bit more pious about it and hope that you have the strength to go through whatever challenge that you're faced with. And so I hope this episode was helpful in us talking about the ways in which getting comfortable being uncomfortable is an important part of being patient and going through things with a degree of resilience, and how growth opportunities and challenges are the same thing, and seeing them as that, and just looking for support, ultimately through putting faith in Allah. Feeling that the idea of Sabah to begin with is almost like a gift that we've been given. And so thanks so much for listening to this episode. I wish you a blessed Ramadan. I will see you next Jummah. This has been the Nisa Invest Tea Talk podcast. Bye for now.